Hey, listeners, welcome to Montana Untamed. Just before we start this episode, I want to give you a quick little introduction. My name's Tom Bridge. I'll be the host most of the time on this podcast, although you will hear from other voices. Montana Untamed is a weekly outdoors podcast from the newsrooms of Lee Enterprises Montana newspapers. You'll hear from reporters and editors and photographers from across the state covering everything to do with Montana's out-of-doors. We'll have hook and bullet stories, deep dives into the policy and science. Basically, you're going to get everything you need to know about what's going on in Montana's outdoors. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Now, stay tuned for our first episode. Thanks. From hook and bullet to policy and science, we're here to discuss and dissect all matters of importance to Montana's rugged landscape and the people and wildlife that call it home. This is Montana Untamed. In the last few days, rivers in south central and southwest Montana have risen to unprecedented levels, wreaking havoc on the communities along their banks. Images and videos of houses and bridges being washed away in rising floodwaters have populated social media sites. Whole communities in the area have been isolated without any road access to them. Law enforcement and government agencies are still conducting search and rescue operations in the region. While many questions remain, accounting for the magnitude of the disaster today, I have Brett French, outdoors editor for the Billings Gazette, to discuss what we know about Montana's current high water crisis. Brett, in a week, we've gone from talking about drought and low reservoirs to record-setting floods. What happened?
Yeah, thanks, Tom. It's only a week ago I was writing about heavy snowfall closing down the Beartooth Pass, heavy snowfalls in the Bighorn Mountains over Memorial Day weekend, but drought conditions still existed across much of Montana, especially in that highline area down along the Rocky Mountain front, as far south as the Muscle Shell River. And it looked like it was going to stay that way. Reservoirs were low, likely not to fill. Canyon Ferry, Fort Peck were all really low compared to historically for this time of year. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, just like in, I think it was 2015, we had a rain on snow event. Right. After that heavy snowfall over Memorial Day weekend, and that unleashed all this runoff that was supposedly going to be soaked up by the dry ground. They had apparently about an inch or two on top of snow in the mountains. It just sent all that water rushing down the Absarca Beartooth ranges. Every major drainage coming out of there has been at a historic high level.
Right, right. Yeah, and, you know, I spoke with a meteorologist earlier this week, and he explained to me that it was kind of this perfect storm of three factors, one being the cold late spring we've had that has held a substantial amount of snow in the high country, and the fact that we are so late. The sun angle has warmed that snow to a point where satellite imagery showed it sitting at 32 degrees. And then he said that atmospheric river that dumped torrential amounts of precipitation in the high country, he called it, he basically said it didn't melt, it washed the snow out of the mountains. And so as we've seen these rivers swell and, you know, historic amounts of water in these watersheds, can you give us kind of a synopsis of what sort of damage we've seen from the flooding in South Central and Southwest Montana?
Yeah, I was up at Red Lodge on Monday morning. That's when we found out Rock Creek had hit a record high up there and washed out the 19th Street Bridge. And the bridge was acting like a big wedge to diverge water down Broadwater Avenue, which is the main drag in Red Lodge, and into a neighborhood that one resident told me an engineer told him had never flooded. So, and it was a 1915 house. So he thought he was safe. And yeah, it just poured trees and landscape boulders down the road when the water receded. It's just a rocky roadway now. And up on the Yellowstone, the Soda Butte Creek and that area up by Cook City was a torrent, tore down through there, took out two bridges, isolated one family from Florida who was staying in a vacation rental up there. They were helicoptered out by the National Guard, I believe it was, on a short line. So that was an exciting end to their unusual trip.
Wow.
And as that water roared down through Yellowstone National Park into the Lamar Valley, took out portions of the road between Cook City and Silvergate. Silvergate's right on that northeast gate to the Yellowstone National Park. So essentially isolated that little town and took out the road between Silvergate, that northeast entrance, and Tower into Yellowstone National Park in at least two places along the Lamar River. And then downstream from there in Gardner, you had the Gardner River, blew out about six places in the road between Gardner and Mammoth Hot Springs, which is the park's headquarters and the main way for folks traveling in and that north entrance to get into the park, the second busiest entrance in the park. And then going downstream from there, took out a house that was an employee housing for Yellowstone National Park workers, floated down the Yellowstone River, crashed into a bridge. Further downstream at Carbella, the old Tom Miner road, I guess, historic bridge there, washed out that steel structure and floated it downstream to hit possibly the next bridge there at Point of Rocks and did some damage to it. It's not usable right now. And yeah, it's just more of that as you kept going downstream and it right. affected the Stillwater River, the Boulder River, all tributaries to the Yellowstone. And here today we're talking on Wednesday, record high flood waters in Billings, capping out at over 16 feet when they thought it was going to crest yesterday at about 15 feet. So mm-hmm. it's been one of those issues where we keep thinking this is the end of it and it gets worse.
Right. You know, it starts in the headwaters and all that water goes downstream. Well, thanks. That was a really great kind of overview. And then now I'd like to kind of go back and let's drill down on some of those scenes that you talked about. I'd like to go back to Red Lodge. You traveled up there. And like you said, runoff from the Beartooth Mountains turned Rock Creek into a raging torrent almost overnight Monday, right? You know, and how did that community respond? What did you hear from folks down there?
Yeah, it was pretty sad. I met one Joliet resident, which is just a short distance north of Red Lodge, whose grandparents had built their dream home down not too far from the creek. And the grandmother had died. The grandfather had died before the grandmother, but the grandmother had just died in March. They were putting the house up for sale, had just gotten it cleaned out. And now it had water right at the doorstep. So pretty emotional Wow. experience for her. Talked to another older couple that had been there for 15 years. Those are the ones I was telling you about who the engineer told him the place had never been flooded. And mm-hmm. they were sitting at the Red Cross evacuation center waiting to find out if or when they might be able to get back in. They ended up staying with a niece that night. And now that the water is back down, they're probably in town checking out the damage. But yeah, rocks, trees, large trees too. We're talking entire evergreens pushed up against houses. One house, well, actually it was Rocky Fork. It was a bed and breakfast right there below that 19th Street Bridge. It was taking a huge brunt of the water coming out of Rock Creek just on the side of it. Tore off the garage doors. A full-size refrigerator was floating down the street. You know, it's just unbelievable the amount of damage that water can do.
Right. You know, and like we say, like I mentioned earlier, you know, it started in the headwaters around Yellowstone. You know, flood damage in Yellowstone National Park. We're talking about road washouts, bridge failures, rock slides, mud slides. You know, it forced the park to indefinitely close all five entrances on Monday, only the third time in 34 years. And today, on Wednesday, park officials have said that the northern loop will remain closed for the rest of the season, and the southern half of the park will remain closed for at least a week. Can you tell us about what's going on in the park? You know, how officials are responding, what happened to everybody that was visiting the park, you know, and what sort of scenes you have, or have heard about what the park looks like right now?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing that Park Service was able to evacuate about 10,000 people out of the park on Monday to ensure that they weren't all trapped in there as roads went out and mudslides and, as you mentioned, stuff like that, bridges. And they got most of the people out. There's still some workers were in Mammoth. And, and then there were, I guess there's still some resort employees at Tower. But for the most part, it's been emptied out, and they just need to get engineers and people on the ground to figure out how bad the damage is, what's going to take to fix it, and if it's even fixable. They're talking about that road between Gardner and Mammoth, not even possibly rebuilding it just because of where it's built right along the Gardner River.
No kidding.
And the problems, yeah, that it would take to rebuild it there. So they maybe just realigned the whole road. And just, I think it was just last fall, they finished at that north entrance constructing a new entryway. They added more lanes so there were less backups into Gardner. Sometimes the traffic there can back up across the Yellowstone River, you know, a mile and a half away. And so they just finished putting a lot of money into rebuilding that north entrance. And now it's like it might not be usable for at least a year if who knows when, because if they realign the road, they might have to realign that entrance, I would guess, too. I don't know.
And that is the correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the most heavily used entrance to the park, right?
That's the second busiest. Busiest is the west entrance.
Okay.
So typically in the summer, they may see 10,000 people a day going through there. You know, Yellowstone in the summer, July, August, a million people a month. So it's a hopping place. Yeah. And all those businesses in Gardner, Cook City, Silvergate, that's their bread and butter. Those tourists that come through, that's the, you know, they got to make their money in the summer because winter can be pretty quiet up there.
Right. That proximity to the park. You know, and you mentioned the evacuation of upwards of 10,000 people from the park. I'm wondering if you could share some of the other stories you've heard on the search and rescue efforts in the area.
Luckily, I mean, considering the amount of stuff that happened, it seemed pretty subdued. There was search and rescue, took some people out of the Stillwater River. They got trapped up at Woodbine Campground when that river was cranking at like 10,000 CFS. They were able to float a raft up to them fording the road, I guess, was under a couple of feet or a belly button high water, and walk up and then just float those folks down out. They had to leave their campers and their rigs there, though.
Wow.
And the road at Stillwater Mine, which comes out of there, is completely gone. I mean, the river just tore a big hole in that road. So, yeah, no idea when they'll be able to get their rigs out. Our photographer, Mike Clark, came back with some photos yesterday from that country. There was a pickup truck that was totally submerged in the water. There was video of a cabin floating away. Hopefully nobody in it. They did a helicopter rescue, as I said earlier, of that family up in Cook City.
Mm-hmm.
They evacuated some people out of waterborne houses, you know, with trucks or whatever they could to in the Red Lodge area. A lot of those people got out early when they in the morning when they started beating on doors, warning people at like 1:30 in the morning. So, kind of a mix. There was one guy in Cook City who was trying to self-rescue, fell into the water, got pulled out and seemed okay. And then suffered pretty severe hypothermia, and they had to fly in a helicopter to rescue him. Wow. And because the landing pad is down by the garbage dump, where the is right next to the creek on the softball field, was underwater. So they had to land on Main Street to pick him up, and took him to the Cody Hospital, I guess.
I'd like to rewind a little bit, kind of towards Monday, when a lot of this really started to happen. The Yellowstone River crested at just over 49,000 cubic feet per second at Corwin Springs in the Upper Paradise Valley on Monday morning, shattering its previous record of 32,000 set in June of 1996. And this wiped out all roads to Gardner on Monday. You know, and we saw huge crowds of travelers and residents become trapped in the mountain town. What do we know about what's happened in Gardner since Monday?
Right. Yankee Jim Canyon is where the road got cut off. Highway 89 comes south out of Livingston through the Paradise Valley to Gardner and goes through Yankee Jim Canyon. It's this really narrow area, which actually about 12,000 years ago, they think, was dammed by a rock slide and created a lake where Gardner now is, before it blew out. So it's a narrow area. If you've ever floated there through there on a raft, it's about, God, it's got to be 20 feet up from the riverbank to the road surface. Is really narrow mm-hmm. and high. And the water was over the top of the road there. And so they couldn't drive out, but it dropped enough on Tuesday. They were able to reopen the road, get the visitors out of there. They've closed it to residents only coming back in. I'm trying to get a hold of Department of Transportation to find out if they know how long that'll be closed. Because, again, that's the lifeblood for those companies like rafting operator I was talking to there. You know, that if they can get the road reopened, they're pretty confident they can still recover some money, even if folks can't get into Yellowstone. But right now they're canceling reservations and having to turn people away because they can't get there.
Right. Well, yeah. And I mean, to remind people who may not be familiar with the geography down there, you know, Gardner is basically the north entrance of the park. I mean, it's just right there. It's just right across the river, right?
Gardner's not even across the river. You drive up the Gardner River to get to Mammoth and the park. So yeah, it's right. Actually, if you're standing on Main Street in Gardner and step outside, that's Yellowstone National Park, is that frontage road that looks right out towards the fields, and the entrance there is the park's right there.
Right. You know, and so as we mentioned earlier, all of this floodwater, it makes its way into the river, and then the river keeps going. What did we see downstream as floodwaters reached Livingston, you know, and eventually as we're seeing in Billings today?
Yeah, they had to evacuate the hospital in Livingston. It's a fairly new facility put up apparently in a 100-year floodplain or 500-year floodplain. And so they got people moved out to surrounding areas like Big Timber, downstream here in Billings. We're worried about the water treatment plant because it draws from the Billings or from the Yellowstone River. Oddly enough, this winter, the water was so low, they were worried that they weren't going to be able to get any water from that facility. So now it's topping over the boardwalk that goes out to where the intake is. They had to shut it off. It's close to the sewer plant, overtopping the sewer plant here with, over 16 feet of water coming down. And as it goes downstream, yeah, who knows, picks up more water from the Bighorn, the Tongue, the Powder Rivers. And so it's usually pretty big water by the time you get all the way to the North Dakota border, and everything that gets thrown into the water from the flooding, whether it's pickups or houses or runoff from the sewage plant, you know, could end up in that water. And we've seen that before. In 2011 was a bad year, and we saw that with the oil spill in the Yellowstone River too.
Right. You know, in Montana, and you know, all these mountain communities that we've mentioned so far, that have been inundated with floodwaters, you know, they're tied to tourism, and the money from summer visitation is huge for them. do we have an idea of what impact this could have on towns and tourism-based businesses, like you mentioned, rafting trips, other guided outings?
Yeah, because when the Beartooth Highway was closed after that other previous rain on snow event, it closed it down for the summer. So Red Lodge basically had to sell themselves as a destination without that connection to Yellowstone National Park, because the Beartooth Highway goes up and over down to Cook City and into the park. So it's a very popular route. And it was a hard year for them. And they did a lot of promotion to try and attract travelers anyway. A lot of people showed up not realizing, even despite all the coverage, that the road was closed. And so we get some idea of how it's going to play out there. But Gardner, it will be unprecedented. You know, they had a closure when COVID hit, and the first year they didn't open up the park, and then they opened it up late, and then was kind of restricted how many people were coming in. And then last year it seemed to really take off. People were just pent up demand, you know, and traveling. So they got some idea too. And then they also had a fire down there in Red Lodge, right in downtown, that kind of scared things. And it was one of the only restaurants, you know, it's not a big town, so you can't lose too many restaurants and have it not right. affect the other places and other businesses. So they've all dealt with these kind of problems before, but this is unique, just like everything. It's going to be a challenge. The county commissioner is recommending that people come and visit anyway, or buy gift certificates is one way to help these businesses through the hard times, or pre-book vacations for another date so that they have those on the books. So yeah, it's going to be tough unless something happens quickly, because the Beartooth Pass, they were amazing. They engineered that thing and had it done within the summer. So by the end of the summer, it was open again. Maybe, you know, something like that could happen. Who knows?
Hmm. So, you know, I guess this will become more clear as the days and weeks go on, but do we have an idea of the magnitude of this flooding? You know, is this a 100-year event, a 500-year event, 1,000-year event? Are those pieces starting to come together? Are we kind of getting a clear picture of how big of a disaster this may be?
Yeah, it's hard because the records only go back about 100 years. So right. It's higher than anything we've seen in 100 years that's on record. And I was talking to Kathy Whitlock, who's a paleoecology professor at MSU, seeing if she had any knowledge of something bigger before. But again, you know, the only way you can tell is by looking at the ripples on the side of the mountains from those big floods like Lake Missoula had. And like I mentioned, when Gardner was, or the Yellowstone River was dammed up at Yankee Jim and created a lake at Gardner, you can see those big outflow waves and rocks that have been tossed down. So it's not unprecedented in geologic times, but it's certainly unusual in European history times, because we thought 2011 was a big year, and that was when they first let all the water down, or not all the water, but opened up the floodgates at Fort Peck, and that thing was flowing at like 20,000 CFS or something like that. It was a huge river coming out of Fort Peck because it was so full they had to dump it out. So not quite seeing that this year because the dams were already low and they're backing up water as they go downstream. And there's certainly a lot of room for storage in Fort Peck. Yellowstone, on the other hand, you know, it goes all the way to Lake Sakakawea before it hits an impoundment. So they may be holding back some water out of the Missouri to try and alleviate a problem downstream, because going into this week, it was looking like it was going to be the 25th worst year for runoff on the upper Missouri River Basin. So quite a turnaround.
Right, right. You know, and before we hop off here, what are you going to be looking for in the next few days? What are you going to be watching for? What are you going to be reporting on over the next week? And, you know, as this unfolds, the next weeks or months?
Yeah, it's really going to be interesting to see just how much damage is out there, because nobody really knows for sure other than these roads have been closed. because they had water on top of them. Are the bridges still usable? Can they be repaired, or are they going to have to be completely replaced? Can the roads be fixed? It's going to take millions of dollars to do that. And, you know, what's the timeline on those repairs? They can't just bring in a floating bridge, I don't think, and throw it in there when they need crossing. So how long will these residents have to find a way? Some, you know, just had ranches, maybe had a private bridge. So are they even able to get out? And then from there, you know, how long is it going to take to fix? And mostly people are wondering too, what happened in the backcountry? You know, right. Guys like you and I like to get up into the mountains. What trails got washed out? What bridges got washed out up there? Can we even get to the trailheads to go backpacking?
Right.
One thing's for sure, it's probably going to be a great mosquito season with all this standing water.
Yeah, well, and I think didn't Custer-Gallatin National Forest close all national forest lands, you know, in a handful of counties down there to all access? Is that correct?
Boy, I haven't seen that press release yet, but certainly all the fishing access sites along the Yellowstone River and campgrounds and stuff have all been closed down, and they're telling people to stay away. Hopefully they do. You know, we've always got a few people out there that like to test their skills. Saw photos of kayakers going down the Gallatin River past House Rock. House Rock was just a big bulge of a wave going through there. And we had a drowning up here the week before. You know, somebody on the Stillwater River capsized, didn't have their life jackets on. And so, yeah, it's a little scary, but amazingly, it's been very few, if any, fatalities from this. So that's pretty surprising.
Right. Right. Well, thanks, Brett. I know it's been a very busy couple of days for your newsroom. But I'm glad you found the time to sit down and chat about, this historical event that's happening, in South Central Montana.
Yeah, it's great talking with you, Tom.
Montana Untamed is a podcast from the newsrooms of Lee Enterprises Montana newspapers. Visit any of our websites or subscribe wherever podcasts are found.